Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope fans. He's Jared. I'm Shane. Welcome to another Scope movie review.
Shane lowers his voice as the person next to us gets in their car.
It scared me a little bit. Hey, we're here with a movie review. It's a little bit ahead of the curve this time around. We're talking about the sequel to the 20-year-old film. I was trying to do the math on what year it came out.
1994. 20 years.
Jared and I were working together at Toys R Us at that time. I was in college.
We had a toy stash. Great.
Yes, this is Dumb and Dumber 2.
T.O.
T.O. is as pointed out to us by the movie assistant. I don't even know what she would do.
Yes, the person running the screening, as we'd just been staring at a still on the projection screen for 45 minutes that said the name of the film. Pretty hard to miss.
Well, if there ever was Oscar bait, this would be it.
We are. It is the season, November. Yep. We start to see those Oscar bait films come out.
Yes, and this is one of them. So Jim Carrey, Jeff
Daniels
of Newsroom fame, they reunite to bring the characters of Harry
and Lloyd
and another cross-country road trip.
Indeed.
This time around, Harry and Lloyd are after, which I can't even remember which is which. Why don't you tell us, Jared?
Well, Harry is Jeff Daniels. Lloyd is
Jim Carrey. That's right.
Harry apparently needs a kidney, and they discover through a series of misadventures, as is their way, that supposedly Harry has accidentally fathered a child 20 years ago with a local person named Freda. Is it Freda? Freda Felcher, I believe her name is, played by Kathleen Turner. And so they're on their quest to locate this long-lost daughter, it turns out. She apparently is off to deliver some speech at the Ken Conference in El Paso, Texas. So they're trying to find the daughter and get a kidney for Harry and reunite with his love child.
Yeah.
I guess. That's really the story.
Yeah. While Jim Carrey's got a crush on her.
Of course, because he's Electra's old man now.
Yes. Sort of gross. So yeah, that's pretty much all you need to know.
You said it's a road journey, and obviously all sort of craziness is going to happen here. Oh, we should mention that at some point they meet her adoptive parents, and there is the wife character, who's, what's her name? I forget the actor's name, but
she was Andrea.
Andrea on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And their handyman, Rob Riggle, who will also play Travis is the character, I believe. He'll play a role in this story, without giving it too much away.
That's about all the famous people you would know. So this is an interesting film, Jared.
Yes.
And I'm of two minds of it. So first of all,
mind number one.
Sequels to comedies are tricky.
They are. It's hard to harness that magic again.
Yeah, I mean it's, and I tend to draw the a parallel to maybe the most famous sequelized comedy of our generation. Right. That would be Austin Powers.
Oh.
So you've got Austin Powers, which has this completely unique, original idea and character who is, like, shot out of a cannon, something you'd never seen before.
Oh, yeah, baby.
And great, great movie. It was very original, very clever. And
well, what about the Ace Ventura Pet Detective?
I didn't like it.
I'm just saying, it's a comedy sequel.
Yeah, I suppose. But,
go ahead.
And you can be the judge on whether the sequel is good or not.
Fair enough.
I didn't like the original Ace Ventura, so...
Sorry to derail you. Back to Austin Powers.
So, and then Austin comes back in his two sequels, and the first sequel, not great. The second one, maybe a little bit better, but it was essentially rewalking the path already taken.
It's no longer fresh. It's now we've established what the rules are for this particular set of characters, and we're going to do the same with some variation.
Yeah, and that is the same thing that happens with this film. Even though it's 20 years later, and you might have forgotten some of the jokes, it's essentially the same movie in many, many ways. I mean, there's a few long cons in this movie that are played out, but, I mean, essentially
they're dumb, they don't understand people's true motivations, they misspeak words, they're crass, childlike, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and I found it interesting because that aspect bothered me of this movie, and the Farrelly brothers decided to hammer that point home in the credits, where they would show a still from, or a scene from the new film, right along with a scene that's similar in the old movie.
Sort of reinforcing the idea that
we've done this before, and we want you to know. And then when you see some of those scenes, you're like, hey, I remember that. And that was actually funnier than what it was in this movie.
Yeah.
So that sort of bothered me.
Okay.
That being said, I mean, there were definite times in this film that I laughed out loud. The movie started off slow, and about one-fourth of the way through, there was a big joke. You know the joke I'm talking about.
They
kind of turned the tide of the film.
It turns a corner at
that point. Yeah, it's like, there are going to be some creative, funny things in this film.
I agree. It sort of started out slow. It felt very forced early
on. Oof, this is rough.
Like, ooh, I'm not sure this is working here. Yep. And then it hits that beat, and then boom.
Yep.
It sort of finds its groove, for better or worse.
Yeah, and then from there, there are some laughs. There are some funny things. Mm-hmm. There's the Farrelly Brothers gross out. And honestly, there are a lot of things that miss at the same time. I mean, the thing you talk about, like the misspoken word thing, really bothered me. Because it's just, okay, we get it. These guys mix up words, and it's not particularly funny. You know, it's the easy joke.
It is. Yeah, this is a series now of easy jokes.
So you have to sort of get over that. Yeah. So that sort of leaves me split in terms of what this film is. But, you know, it is what it is. I think you sort of have to accept that as part of what... They're not going to give you a completely different film.
No.
Maybe there's a part of me that wishes they would have... You know, if they're going to reunite these two actors, maybe they could find something that they could do together that was different than this and find a fresh and creative and a new idea. But maybe that's hard to do. I don't know.
It is tough to do a sequel to Dumb and Dumber and somehow make them smarter, because that would really be going against what Dumb and Dumber was. You know, these grown-up man-children who are not very bright and sort of have their own way about things that... Obviously, there are people, characters in the film that look at them as the audience and like, wow, you guys are really, really, really stupid.
If you do that, though, then your comedy has to hit.
Yeah.
And it has to hit consistently.
So I'm not sure if it was the right choice to sort of be of the same tone and of the same style as the original versus maybe, you know, somehow progressing the characters further after 20 years, but...
And the problem is that we've talked about this as well, is that comedy has a shelf date. I mean, it goes in cycles. Jim Carrey was hilarious in the 90s, but he eventually faded from that comedic zeitgeist, and somebody else replaces him. And the Farrelly Brothers are the same way. I mean, they had a string of about three or four good movies, and then, for whatever reason, maybe the movies weren't good enough, or people just sort of tired of that comedy, and they moved on to something else that... was more appealing. You know, maybe it's an age thing. You know, maybe 20-year-old Shane would like this movie than 25-year-old Shane that saw it tonight.
But I mean, it is very much a time warp.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not...
It does not stray from any formula.
Yeah.
But, you know, good comedy is good comedy. And there were definitely jokes
that hit really hard. There are moments that surprise you. You won't see them coming. And then there are moments that you will see coming a mile away.
Yeah.
But sometimes they still make you laugh. Yeah. So
it's tough. Yeah. I wish there would have been more of, you know, the jokes that hit harder and surprise me.
Yeah.
But maybe the fluff in the middle makes those jokes better. I don't know.
It's a serviceable sequel that is very, very true in spirit, if not in content exactly, to the original. So if that's something that you're interested in, then you'll probably be very, very pleased by this film. If you're looking for a film that takes the original and maybe turns it on its ear and has a different take on it,
you're not going to get it on this.
No need to apply.
And as a side note, what a hell of a robust soundtrack on this, Jared.
Oh,
I mean, you've got Franz Ferdinand, you've got the Eels, you've got...
There was about
Creedence Clearwater,
30 or 40 songs.
Yeah, it was amazing.
In the credits, it was a lot of music. So, hey, if you enjoy going to the movies just to hear the soundtrack, by all means.
That's another Farrelly Brothers thing, too, is they like to have, you know, the adult alternative music soundtrack, and this definitely had.
I want to mention a couple of, just offhand, some, I guess, unfortunately timed tie-ins, product placements. I don't know if they're product placements or not, I just happen to be there. There's a dream sequence, which I think the two sort of dream sequences were probably some of my favorite moments in the film. One where Honey Boo Boo's mom shows up.
Yeah.
A little bit of unfortunate timing there.
Yeah.
And then later on at the Ken conference, you see a Virgin Galactic display in the background very briefly.
Oh, I didn't notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, unfortunately timed, given current events, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I don't remember if they did this in the original movie, but this movie, not only does it have the two flashbacks, and they do, or like dream sequences,
yeah,
but they also do a lot of flashback type things that seem almost like out of Family Guy or something, but they'll cut and they'll say, oh, remember that time we did this? And then
sure.
It shows them with the kid.
Yeah.
As a kid. Did they have that in the first one, or is that more of a new device?
It seems familiar, but I can't honestly say for sure.
Because I kind of like that. It didn't, it didn't always work, but at least it, you know, it felt right for the movie, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
And that's always funny to see them playing 20 years younger.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be, what, 40 years younger than them, their current ages, but they obviously look the same, so.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we have to say is that Jim and Mr. Daniels both put their all into it. They weren't dinking around. They went for it every single time. It's sort of weird when you see a few old guys sort of doing that, but.
Yeah.
You know, it. Once again, just like. I struggle between the comedic aspect and sort of retreading old ground and it feeling tired and like a cash-in. Even though I don't necessarily think that's what it is, when you do something like this, it almost feels like it sometimes. So.
Yeah, and some of the comedy notes are a little bit, I don't know, cliched or maybe not as progressive as you would like. I mean, there's still the lecherous old man,
mm-hmm.
you know, Lloyd character likes the young, beautiful woman trope. You know, just some slightly misogynistic stuff that isn't really appealing anymore. So, I don't know.
It is what it is. So, let's stop talking about the movie.
Instead, we keep it short.
Let's start giving it a score.
The Soap score is 2.25 stars.
2.25. So,
above average.
Above average. It is going to be something, like you said, if you like the original and you want to see more of that, but yet with more wrinkles and and some oddly uncomfortable moments, this is probably a good movie for you. And like we said, there were genuine laughs. It was just a bit too scattershot shotgun approach where some things hit, but probably more things missed than hit.
Keep your eyes peeled in the background. You never know who's going
to
pop
exactly
up.
And stay to the end of the credits, please. Come on.
At what are you doing?
Do that.
Come on. It's not amateur hour.
So, Jared, tell our listeners, tell our watchers how they can check us out.
You can like, comment, or subscribe. All those things are right down below if you're not watching this embedded. If you are, I can't help you. You're on your own.
Exactly. So, there we go, Jared. Another movie under our belt. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with more movie reviews soon. Bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.